We have a problem with invasive aliens. We're talking about plant invasive aliens here. And one of the things that attracts the most attention is invasive acacia trees. Amongst them, Acacia saligna, also known as Port Jackson's. And there are lots of government and conservation organization programs to get rid of the Port Jackson's. And perhaps the most popular way to do this is to fell them, to stack them, and then to burn them. But researchers at Stellenbosch University and a German university wondered what this particular approach did in terms of other aliens moving into the area from which the Port Jacksons had been cleared. And the results of their study have just been published in the South African Journal of Botany. One of the researchers and lead researcher at the Center for Invasion Biology at Stellenbosch University, Dr. Mlungele Ntsikane, joins us now. Mlungele, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
And a pleasure. What did you find? I know because I've read the digest of the paper. You found, very interestingly, that other invasive plants, not trees, but other invasive plants said, hello, let's go in there.
Basically, what happens is, as you have already said, that there is so much effort to try and remove these invasive species so that we can reduce their negative impacts and be able to restore our native species. But now, what you then realize is that when you remove these invasive species, these invasive acacias, and you take a look at what then comes up, you would normally expect that your native species would come back, but instead you have a situation where you end up with other invasive species which come into the site. And in this particular study, we actually realized that about 32 different invasive species came up after just removing the Port Jacksons. So you started off with one problem and you ended up with 32 other problems.
And of those 32 secondary invader species, 72% were herbs, 22% were grasses, and 6% were shrubs. How can one have a conversation about which is the more dangerous, the secondary invader species or the original invader species, which was removed and created the space for the secondary invaders?
Unfortunately, it is not really easy for us to be able to say which one is more dangerous than the other, because they are all both dangerous. But it's just that the context in which they are dangerous is quite different. So, for example, if you actually remove the main invasive species, which are, you know, the bigger trees, the acacias, which are a problem, you know, what then happens is you end up with all these herbs and these grasses and these shrubs, which are sort of subdominant. They are not as big as the trees. What they do is that they take the ecosystem and push it in a completely different manner, in a manner in which they can dominate that ecosystem for a very, very long time. And one of the things that they actually do is that, since, you know, maybe you might know and some viewers might know, that the acacias put in a lot of nitrogen in the soil. And here in the Fynbos, our soils are not so full of nitrogen. But then if you then have the secondary invaders come in after removing the acacias, that nitrogen doesn't go away. But instead, they lock that nitrogen in the system. And then all of our native species cannot grow back because they're just not used to the high nitrogen levels.
Is there a way of removing the acacias, the Port Jacksons, which minimizes the risk of these secondary invaders, or hopefully gets rid of the risk altogether? So instead of felling, cutting, felling, stacking, and burning, is there another way of doing it which changes the risk?
Yes, there are other ways, and one of the most common ways that a person can actually use is to use a method that we call the fell and remove. So fell and remove is just simply when you cut down the trees, instead of stacking them and burning them on site, you actually remove them and take them out of the site. Maybe you can burn them somewhere else on just one piece of land where they wouldn't necessarily damage quite a lot of the vegetation around. So that is one way of doing it. But you also need to be aware that this is a complex issue because ecosystems are complex. In the same manner, fire is always important, particularly here in the Western Cape in our Fynbos, because it's a fire-driven system. So you need the fire, for example, to be able to trigger germination of our native species. And if that fire is not there, then maybe our native species don't come back. So it's sort of a balancing act. You need to limit the amount of fire damage that you cause on your site. So we would suggest that you take all the slash out and burn it outside and not burn it where you want your native species to come back.
I have no idea where the preponderance of approach is. I mean, as I read out, because that was in the media statement from Stellenbosch University, is it the preponderant way of doing things to fell, to stack, and to burn on site?
It's a very, very common tool, and it has been used for years now. But you see, the reason why it is being used is because a lot of people don't have the resources to be able to cut the trees down and also to manage the biomass that is left afterwards. So it is a challenge because you'd probably need a lot of trucks to take it out and stuff. So hence why a lot of people would rather prefer to just burn it on site. And I think funding and the ability for actually people to implement the fell and remove is what has limited its use.
And dealing with the 32 secondary invader species, you worked in two types of geology and two areas, Glencairn being one of them, which will be familiar to many of our listeners. How difficult are those secondary invader species to get rid of?
They are very challenging. They are very, very challenging because an example is you sometimes have annual grasses. And these annual grasses, you know, they have a very short life cycle. They live for about a year or so. They grow, they set seed, they produce a lot of the seed, they put it on the soil, they die. Now that seed then comes up again next rainy season. The cycle keeps on going. So even if you were to come and remove the grasses that you find today, but the seed is already hiding in the soil, next year you have the same problem again. So it is quite challenging. And what actually even makes it more challenging is that the country and our management and our science hasn't caught up to the idea that secondary invaders are as a big problem as the actual acacias. So currently, if you go to the ground, the acacias are being managed, the big trees are being managed, but the secondary invaders are not being managed because the science hasn't caught up. Hence why we have done this research and we're now saying to people and we're now saying to the stakeholders, listen, deal with secondary invaders in as much as you are dealing with the acacias because they stay in the site long after you have left.
The challenge perhaps is to try and find an easier way of dealing with the secondary invaders, to try and find, I mean, I don't know, some kind of biological agent that gets rid of them, but not the indigenous species. Is that an area of possible inquiry?
Yes, that is a possibility. So there is some work that we also did a year plus ago, where we actually looked at some of the ways that have been used around the world to manage secondary invaders. And we came up with a list of about 9 different tactics that we could use. And yes, as you have already mentioned, a biological control agent might be one of the options depending on the species that are there. So there is tools out there in the world, and we have already, you know, identified them, and we think that it is now the time is ripe for us to try and implement some of these tools, because we can't just sit and hope that when we have removed the acacias, then everything else is going to be fine, because we have seen the results. It is not fine.
Thank you very much for the warning, Dr. Mlungele Ntsikane, who is a researcher at the Center for Invasion Biology at Stellenbosch University.